Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. 3:05 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Seth Haphacker.
Why, good afternoon, all.
Good afternoon. We hope you guys are having a good one out there. We're here to take your phone calls, 424-2600. If all we do this hour is answer phone calls, we have done our job.
That's right. We'll take that.
That and give you after news and of course, talk a little bit of nonsense.
Yes.
let's start the show the way we like
nonsense?
To.
Nonsense? Us? Nonsense? Really?
With one of your phone calls. Good morning. You're on the show.
Hey, how are you guys doing on this happy Monday?
Doing well.
Doing good. How you doing, man?
Oh, not too shabby. I was watching a bunch of old school Larry Bird highlights, and I was thinking, man, how scary would that be if you had Larry, Joker, and Giannis all on the same team?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, this... I don't think if you took LeBron, Dwayne, and Bosh, and you could beat that. And we kind of have evidence of that as they lost to Dirk and, you know, a bunch of just guys.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think anybody. I don't know if
you know,
especially this time of year, these are fun games to play.
Grab
three guys. And I'll take him against my three guys. Yeah, like you got those three, and then I pick three. And who could like a more dominant three? Because you need height. Well, you got that. You're still going to need a center. You're still going to need somebody to bring that in. You got that with Giannis. Mm-hmm. You obviously need a shooter in Larry Bird. And
right.
Most people, if you ask them shot for your life, who are they going to take? They're going to pick Larry Bird.
Yeah, I'm going to take Larry Bird all day.
So that's a pretty complete team you got there, man. That's pretty complete. I got to think about that one. I don't know.
I don't know. The one that actually happened, though, in Boston with Bird, McHale, and Parrish, that's pretty good, too.
Oh, man. Don't talk to Bob Ryan about that.
Yeah. I'll say this. Regardless of if it's always one of these things of, oh, you put this guy in this time and who could survive, who can't, and that kind of thing. I don't want to talk about that so much as when you're looking at the center position, there have been nothing but incredible legendary centers in the NBA's history.
Bill Russell,
number one,
yeah, right.
You know, even current guys like Joker and stuff that you mentioned there, and Joker. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I will put over Robert Parrish over Joker, the stare. Nobody could stare you down like Robert Parrish. If Robert Parrish looked at you, you were going to do whatever that man told you to do. Whatever was coming next, you were going to do it.
That's true. I would love to see the stare down between him and Dikembe Mutombo, though.
Yes. Yeah. It'd still be going on. It would still be going on.
Right there.
It's too bad they didn't play at the same time. Yes. Oh, now I want to see that. Yeah.
That's a good one. Hey, I know that you are a diehard Rafter fan. We are going to kick off with Rafter news. What is your feelings on the season? Certainly would have liked to, go into the playoffs and everything, but the way the season went as it is, how do you feel?
Well, I really wish, obviously, they would have finished out a little bit better. But I'm going to miss their pitching staff because they had a really good sense of humor, and they were always just like a really affectionate a bunch of guys. And for the whole season, they're always a bunch of cool guys, but the Raptors usually have a bunch of cool guys that they have come to town. So
it was a good season, though, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we all want a title, but if you can't get that, I feel like we can keep our heads up on this one.
Well, exactly. You know, it's not always. You know, it's about the
journey, not the destination.
Thank you very much.
I messed that up this weekend, and that's the only reason I know it. It's because I messed it up talking to somebody else this weekend. I just didn't do it on air. I got lucky. For once, I messed up in person.
That's all right.
No, a lot of those guys, I mean, they're very near and dear to my heart, and I really hope that some of them come back. I'm not sure. You know, you never know who's going to come back.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
Yep.
Hey, always good to talk to you. Oh, you got something else?
Hey. I got some fun stats.
Ooh. All right.
Ooh, all right.
How do you feel about Bartolo Colon?
Love him. Yeah, love Bartolo Colon. Big Sexy. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He played against all 30 teams. Mm-hmm. He's 50 years old. And he played for 11 teams.
God, that's incredible.
Here's a fun fact. He not only struck out Paul Molitor, but he also struck out Rafael Devers.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah. That's a generational gap.
That's right there. Oh, my gosh.
That's incredible. According to what I can find here, Bartolo Colon is still playing in the Puerto Rican League team.
Yeah. I totally would believe it.
He's still playing. God bless him.
I know. I usually like to give you guys like the Easter roll, like stats.
Yeah.
I was like, I got to dig deep to find him.
You worked for that one, man.
That's a good one.
Appreciate it. Thanks for kicking off the show.
Have a good week. All right.
You too.
You too, man. 424-2600. That's the way we like to kick off our show.
While we're on the stats, you know, we're on that, which was a great stat. I love those generational things,
especially
guys who pitch for a whole bunch of teams or something like that.
Yes.
So this is kind of, I got to throw this out, even though it's a stat for the White Sox and James. I'm so sorry, man. So the White Sox have, you know, guys, the pitching staff, at least it was until they blew it up, basically. Yeah. They pitch, you know, good strikeout guys, if nothing else. They struck out a lot. So this is a stat I just couldn't believe. So of the games where the White Sox pitching staff struck out 14 or more batters, their pitching staff struck out the other side 14 batters on the other side, they were 0-11.
Jeez. Oh, man.
0-11. How do you do that?
I feel like I just took a fastball to my kidneys. Oh, God.
All the other teams that had at least four wins, most of them had a over 500 record in those games. 0-11. How do you do that? They struck out more than 14 batters.
I will tell you this. If any team could do it, it's my Southsiders.
Can't believe it.
Thank you, whoever is calling in right now to help me change the subject. Yes, good morning. Good afternoon. You're on Playmakers.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. James, I hate to say this to you, but we own you. Between the Packers owning the Bears and the Brewers owning the White Sox, you need to cheer for somebody else now.
It's starting to get that. It's starting to get like where I'm just going to need therapy just for as a sports fan, like let alone my own personal life or anything. Like it's rough.
Your therapist's like, why does he keep talking about the White Sox? I don't get this.
I like the idea of going to somebody that, but the therapist has no idea of anything of sports. Has no sports references or anything. Has no idea what I'm talking.
And why do these White socks have trouble? Do you like black colored socks or something? What? I don't understand.
What's on your mind today, sir?
Well, I wish I had an hour to be able to talk to you guys because there's so much to talk about this from this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, between the Packers, the upcoming Badger season, you know, they, you know, saw some highlights from their spring scrimmage they had. You know, obviously the Brewers, the Rafters, some Netflix stuff. But, I mean, the Brewers, I say, hopefully they can string a few more series here because I think at this point in the season, now that they're getting healthy, they got their pitching staff back now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're coming in with Woodruff and Burns and Peralta and Miley, and then you got the lonely Hauser. You know, it just, you just kind of wonder who's going to show up on that day when he pitches. But, I mean, they're starting to hit the ball. Adamas, I don't know what they're going to do about him. I know they try to sit him one day just to kind of get his head screwed on tight, but obviously, that didn't work very well. But I don't know. I think if they can, out of the next 43 games, if they win 25 of them, that's 90 wins, and they should win the division.
Mm-hmm. What was this?
Even at 88, they might. I think they could do it, too.
Maybe you or one of you guys might know this, but I know we used to hear it all the time growing up. If you went like 2-for-5 or something your whole career, you'd have a Hall of Fame career or something like that. There used to be a stat that they used to throw around in baseball all the time like that.
Right, yeah.
It's similar to that. All you got to do is just break even the rest of the season. Look, you break the season. Every MLB manager, and I'm positive counsel is doing this, breaking things up in quarters. You look at this last quarter of the season, that's all you got to do. It's just, you know, get your head above water long enough. It seems like the pitching staff coming back, and by that we mean Woodruff coming back. Let's be real. That's yep. the big piece. That was a free agency pickup almost. That was a trade almost because he didn't have all season. It seems to have added a little bit of juice. And then you bring these young kids in, like the Frelick and these guys who seem to have put a little bit more of a jolt in there, along with these vets like a Santana that have just bring in a good clubhouse guy. And I say that not necessarily being in the clubhouse with Carlos Santana at all. But that is what
people say about him. Exactly, yeah.
This combination, I don't know if you went into the MLB season and said during the trade deadline, this and this and this is going to happen, and that's going to be the juice. That's going to be the glue that's going to make it work, but it seems to be.
I had a chance, we had a chance after the Packer game got done on Friday, the Brewers were still playing, and we flipped it over at the right time, because then you see that guy, that Frelick, catching that ball into the net. I mean, he literally leaped the ball,
this kid. I love
the ball,
him.
And then went into the net. I mean, it was just,
he's a hair on fire kind of player. Yeah. He's one of those guys,
When you see that, though, it's just like, please don't do that again. You know?
Yes.
There's that, too. You don't want him to get hurt, of course. But
interesting stat on the Brewers' season so far. They are right now currently 33-27 at home and 33-27 away.
Oh, that's interesting. That's fascinating.
And it kind of encompasses their season. The 3.5 games up over the Cubs, the Reds. It really feels like this has been the whole season the way the Brewers have been. Like, just kind of, they are good enough to make you believe, but I don't know if you're putting money on it. I certainly feel like me confidently going into the postseason. I don't know. All bets are off. Who knows? I don't look at it and know how good Atlanta has been. But I also, maybe this is old bias towards that franchise, but I've not seen an Atlanta team in my life where I was scared that actually did anything. This team doesn't scare me like that four-headed monster they had in that rotation when we were young growing up.
That was probably probably the best rotation that you would ever see.
They only won one. Maybe it's part of that bias or not, but as far as Atlanta scaring me, that doesn't. So, hey, all bets are off.
It's interesting you brought up the playoffs, because they just released the schedule, and there's going to be lots of rest travel days in between for the series. Mm. I think that is going to help a team like the Brewers, because then you can lean on your top three starters. Yeah. And their top three starters are Woodruff and Burns, right now Freddie Peralta is pitching the best he has pitched all year now,
maybe in his life.
Yes. Yeah. So if you got those three guys going right into the, I would take them over just about anybody of that.
Yeah.
And here's one that you guys, I'm going to really kind of make you guys ponder right now on a Monday afternoon. Who in the Brewer starters, if you needed one game, who would you start?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, I'm going Corbin Burns.
I think I would have to, too.
I'm going Burns.
Even though he's having a tougher season than he's had.
I'll admit, I'm a Burns fan, and there's something about his attitude on the when he's on the diamond. Mm-hmm. I don't know about him personal life or anything like that, but when he's pitching, that's my kind of pitcher. I like his attitude out there. So.
Yeah. See, I heard late last week on another talk show that they were talking about the exact same thing. That's why I kind of threw that at you.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. It's a good question.
They were saying Peralta, though.
I don't know if you can get there's a
he's
wrong
too
answer.
Inconsistent. Me. Yeah.
But at the same time, everything in baseball is about momentum, and right now he is hot. So
yes, he is. He is very hot right now.
Fight if counsel told me that's the guy he's going with, I'll trust counsel's opinion, that kind of thing.
Yep.
It's a great point to make about the schedule and the rotation, because right now I'm dragging through my brain the starting pitchers in MLB right now, and is there a three that scare you more? Especially if I add in there the closing that they have in that bullpen with Devin Williams and the setup guys that they got in Milwaukee. You throw that out there, you've got to feel pretty good about it, because I can't think of a set three right now that scares me more. Philly's got an okay one. Atlanta obviously has an okay one, but we're talking okay. We're not talking like, oh, God, I don't want to face that
lights out kind of stuff. Yeah, right.
There's, and in fact, I don't know who the pitcher is in baseball right now that I'm scared of. I know it's Max Scherzer, but that's more off the diamond. That's more like I just like that guy's just wound differently. I love Max Scherzer.
Right.
I'm a big fan. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know if I'd want to owe him money. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, if there is a pitcher out there that I would would be scared of if the Brewers that would have to face him would be Verlander.
Yeah,
even though he's up there in age, Verlander is one of those guys. You know you're going to get that consistent start. And that's where I kind of agree with Seth on Burns compared to Peralta, because Peralta, I mean, he could have two or three games that he's striking out 13.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden that one start that you really need him to do it, he's going to give up three bombs.
Oh. Yep.
There's this kid from Baltimore that keeps happening to Grayson Rodriguez. I'm sneaky kind of looking at Baltimore just because it's fun to watch, and my White Sox obviously are not. And obviously I'm rooting for the Brewers. My brother, my daughter, half my family, and I'm not half, but a bunch of my family rooting for him. But this Grayson Rodriguez, I was watching him the other night, and he had like almost no hitter going, and then just one hit. And he just lost it. Mm-hmm. And a three-run homer right after that. Went from having a no-hitter in the fourth or fifth, going into the fourth or fifth.
Yeah.
And, like, just shot down after that. It seems like a lot of pitchers seem to be doing that nowadays.
I think for him, it's going to be he's really young.
Yeah.
I mean, he is really young. So give him a chance. And that's, I mean, to your point before, James, I can think of a lot of teams that have two guys that I might be. But I'm struggling to find a team that's got three or one that's actually going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Maybe San Diego, but I don't even know if they're going to make the playoffs. So your guess is as good as mine.
But, I mean, and then another question I have at you, too, especially, Seth, that you are a baseball guy and been around and seen a lot of good pitchers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But is Devin Williams a true closer? Mm-hmm.
I think so. You know, I'm not a big fan of the set closer. Actually, I'm kind of a counterintuitive guy on this one. I like my best pitchers. If I were the manager of a team, my best pitchers, relief pitchers, are in the highest leverage situation. So, you know, when you need them the most, who cares where it happens in the games? And I know that happens more in the playoffs because of what's at stake during. I mean, the regular season, it's such a long season, you know, and you have to go through it. But for me, I would say, yeah, he is. I think he is.
Yeah, what do you think? I look at it, to me, I think he's still young yet. I mean, this is his second year or year and a half.
Year and a half,
closer. But, you know, I guess, I'm still a little old school, you know, thinking back of the Raleigh Fingers. Trevor Hoffman.
Oh, good reference.
That's probably real, you know, frequent. Mm-hmm. You know, pretty early. Josh Hader, obviously. I don't know. I mean, he's, like you said, he's young yet. I think he needs to develop maybe another pitch.
Yeah,
that might not be a bad idea.
He's got that changeup curveball that really kind of throws guys off, but I don't know. I can't even think that one that young kid that they just brought up that throws 100 every time he throws the ball.
Yeah, that kid. I know you're talking about.
Man, I wish you could think of his name. I mean, the other night he got his first career save.
He is going to be somebody. We're going to remember his name pretty soon here. We're going to.
Yeah, right. So I mean, I don't know. I just hope that next 43 games, if they can at least win anywhere from 20 to 25, I mean, I think that should pretty much solidify them to win the division.
Yeah. And that's, but the only worry I would have as a Brewers fan is how well the Cubs are playing right now. And I mean, you know, that, are they, the Cubs have had the weirdest season. If you look at their run differential, they should be way higher than they are now. Their win loss record, right. Way more wins than they have, but they are starting to creep up. And that would be my only worry. I don't think Cincinnati. I think they're going to run out of gas. So I don't think Cincinnati is going to be much at the end here. But
yeah, it seems like they might have already.
Yeah,
it may be.
Chicago might be more because they actually have some decent starting pitching too. So
yeah.
Well, out of those three teams, Cincinnati's got the easiest schedule. I kind of looked at it over the weekend. Yeah, yeah. They got the easier schedule. You know, and if you look at the Brewers, you're talking about run differential. They might be the first team in league history to have a negative run differential and win the division.
Win the division, which would be something.
It's
yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, you know, the true series. Yeah, I know they have, you know, the Angel or the Dodgers and the Rangers coming up here the next two series, but the next true series coming up is Seth. You know it. Mm-hmm. The Twins.
Yep.
Brewers Twins coming up here.
I saw that on the schedule.
Yeah. They're in the same boat. They're both with weak divisions and barely hanging on. You know, the Twins. Although the Twins just took two out of three from the Phillies, so that's nice. Yeah. At least they played well against the Phillies, so that's good.
Yeah. Well, that's only two games, so I think they play it. Play the Twins.
Yes, you are correct. Yep.
The Twins are the only ones that want to win that division.
Apparently.
Nobody else is doing anything with it. Thanks for the call, sir. Always good to talk to you.
You guys have a great day and enjoy your week.
You too. We're going to go to break in a second here, but before we do, real quickly, I want to send a shout out and a happy birthday to friend of the show, friend of the station here, Mr. GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Paul Peckham, celebrated the birthday this Saturday.
Oh, happy birthday, coach.
Yeah, I didn't know it was coach's
very
birthday.
Very awesome.
You snuck it in there. I want to get that in there. Coach, we appreciate you. Coach is going to be joining us in the next couple of weeks here. He'll be in town a little bit more and more as the
River
season...
Kings starting to gear up, man.
Yes, yes.
Getting close.
We're looking forward to taking your phone calls on the other end of this break right here on Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing here at WFHR. Your host, James, brought to me, I'm with my partner, Seth, over here.
Yeah.
I already said the brought to you part.
Brought to you by me. Doing. Me, yeah, I brought it to you.
So Seth is an EP of the show. He's the executive producer. He put in $10 and that made him an EP.
See, that's, I mean, hey, cool. That's all
bucks.
It takes, man.
Yeah. Just $10. I mean, it's an, you know, we don't have much of a budget on the show, you know, but.
We don't need one.
424-2600, call up. Join the conversation. So Seth and I come in here, we have a bit of an outline, and then we throw it out the window when you guys call.
Which
in.
Is, yeah, it. That's how it goes, you know, on these shows.
I love that. but we do have some stuff we'll get into. We'll see if we have time. First, your calls. Good afternoon. You are on the show.
Well, good afternoon, fellas. brought to you by what?
Yeah. What's on your mind, man?
No, best Brewer pitcher ever. Obviously Warren Spahn, but you'd have to talk to Bob Uecker about that because he could probably be the best pitcher and catcher in Brewers history.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Hard to argue. There's been some greats. I would say for a brief moment, you know, there's some guys that have had really good moments and really good seasons.
Ooh,
but
Teddy Higuera.
Overall, it's a great reference. Great reference. Yeah.
You want to start up on Juan Nieves while we're in?
Yeah, there you go. Some Dan Plesac for you, anybody?
I like Dan.
His son actually played in the Northwoods.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
It's true.
Right.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah. Good to talk to you, man. Thanks for the call.
Later, guys.
Later.
424-2600. I have to touch on this story.
Okay.
We've got some high school football. We'll talk about that schedule coming up in that. But has anybody else seen what happened with Michael Orr in the Blind Side? The headline here, Blindside subject Orr, Michael Orr, alleges the Tuos made millions off of a lie. That essentially his whole entire adoption process in the movie that you fell in love with and won Oscars and all that, complete lie. There is a 14-page petition that was filed with the Shelby County, Tennessee probate court alleging that Sean and Leah Ann Toley, who took Orr into their home as a high school student, never adopted him. Instead, less than 3 months after Orr turned 18 in 2004, the petition says the couple tricked him into signing a document making them his conservators, which gave them legal authority to make business deals in his name.
Wait, after he turned 18?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
To which case they made millions off of it. In fact, within royalties and all things altogether, over $300 million.
Wow.
The lie of Michael's adoption is one upon which co-conservators Leigh and Tori have enriched themselves at the expense of their ward and undersigned Michael Orr.
Wow.
I mean, so we expect Hollywood to do, you know, to tell the...
Do the Hollywood thing, yeah, right? Yeah, the movie thing.
But with a case like this, we all felt like, well, this is pretty golden here. This mm-hmm. is pretty, you know, it crossed over. It crossed worlds. It was on ESPN, and then it showed up in the movies, and then it showed up on the academies.
Yep.
And through that whole process, we didn't... this is before social media, really, and where we got good at vetting when we had to. When we started to have to, you know?
Yeah.
But man, that's an ugly story.
That is ugly.
I don't know how that's going to turn out, how that's going to end, but eh.
Well, to be blunt, it's going to change people's view of the movie.
Right.
It's because they're going to say, oh, yeah, we know what really happened. Which, I mean, it's too bad because the performances in the movie are great. I mean, what, Sandra Bullock won an Oscar for it? I mean, and she does such a great job. She's so good in that movie. Wow.
There are few actors in the world that have the cred, if you will, that Sandra Bullock does.
Yeah.
Where you've heard how many people in your life say, that's Sandra Bullock, she's hard to work with. Or that's Sandra Bullock, I don't like her. She's one of the most liked people in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those people that everybody's rooting for to eventually get an Oscar. Very similar to Don Baylor, Dusty Baker. Winning
getting that World Series.
Very similar kind of. Yeah. Susan Lucci getting her daytime Emmy. And that kind of thing. Sandra Bullock gets her Oscar. And then this. You know?
I feel bad for her.
So that's an ugly situation. But the other thing that I wanted to also bring up that kind of broke this morning as well, for those that aren't paying attention, Philadelphia 76ers star James Harden has requested a trade earlier this summer.
Mm-hmm.
The 76ers announced this weekend they are not taking trade offers anymore. They're expecting James to be at camp. James Harden came out and called GM of the Philadelphia 76ers, Daryl Morey, a liar.
Oh, boy.
And just trashed the guy. And I don't really care about either of them. I'm just kind of sitting there like, when this stuff didn't used to happen.
No.
And it's just such a different day now.
It is, very much so.
Where this is going on. And I don't know, is it better, is it worse? I'm curious what you think out there. Let's find out what's on your mind. Let's go ahead and take a call. Good morning, you're on the show. Good afternoon, you're on the show.
Yeah, you know I'm a baseball fanatic, but I really, really love Little League Baseball. Mm-hmm. And that World Series starts on Wednesday.
Oh.
But the regional has been on this past couple weeks or so, and I watched Washington D.C. at Pennsylvania game. Those guys both had a shutout going throughout the whole game. Nothing game.
Whoa!
The kid I really liked was Grayson Little. He played for Washington D.C.
Yeah,
he had 13 strikeouts and one walk in that game.
Did you see the composure on that kid's face too? Wow. I was impressed by that.
Same thing with his first game a couple days before that, or a few days before that.
Hmm.
He doesn't walk anybody.
No.
Like he says, he got his 13th strikeout in the top of the bottom of the sixth.
Jeez. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And he was at 79 pitches then. So he threw 10 pitches to the next guy, so... And then they end up walking him, and he already reached the 85-pitch limit, so they had to take him out.
Wow.
And Washington ended up losing that game. I mean, he had a perfect game. The other guy had a shutout going also. But the thing I like about it, he's only 11. He'll have a chance to come back again next year.
Oh, my gosh.
That is something.
He didn't make it to the playoffs. DC didn't make it to the playoffs. I mean, to the World Series run, mm-hmm.
I didn't think about the fact that he can come back next year. And I didn't see his first game either. So thank you for that.
Oh, that's scary.
That is interesting. That is pretty cool.
He only walked two in the first game, also.
Yeah,
that's rare for kids that age, man. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. That's control.
And
wow.
11, so he'll be young enough yet so he can play again next year if he makes.
I don't think I'm as diehard as you are with the Little League World Series, but as long as I've had cable, I've watched it and paid pretty close attention. And you see these kids pretty much every year. You got a kid like this, either a hitter or a batter or both, that really blows you away. But this kid, there's something about his composure on the diamond that just really seems a little different to me. I don't know. I'm no scout, but I'd be keeping an eye on this kid. I'd be keeping an eye on
him. He says as he hopes the White Sox sign him now.
right now.
Get that kid now. Get him now.
We got Toussaint going tomorrow. No, what about this kid? Just put him out there. Just, I don't know. What's going to happen? I mean, I don't know. Protect him.
Yeah, he'll be back next year. I hope that DC wins again next year. That's we can see him again.
Cool. Yeah,
that'll be exciting.
He plays catcher when he's not normally plays catcher when he's not pitcher.
The next two-way star.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, sir.
All right.
Yeah, have a good one. The Little League, the 2023 Little League World Series will be going August 16th through August 27th.
There you go.
Pretty much featured on ESPN, I believe.
Why not? They're not showing anything else but cornhole right now. Right. So let's might as well show a real sport, you know, even if it's kids doing it. I'm sorry.
Seth comes in like El Draghi the other day doing the morning show together and stuff. And the first thing out of his mouth, they've got cornhole on
ESPN. On ESPN. What's going on, man?
That's great. Let's talk, because I was going to start the show with this. Let's kind of do a little bit of a summary of the Rafter season real quick here. Although we'll talk about whatever you guys want to talk about, 424-2600. So first off, I did want to send a shout out to radio broadcaster Joey Farrar and Kevin Mallar from their TV broadcaster for the season. We love having these guys in. It was a great season with those guys. Mm-hmm. Wishing them well with their careers as they go forward. And certainly hoping to hear them again. I know that I've kept up with a lot of the Rafter announcers over the years.
Yeah.
And looking forward to keeping in contact with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
A big, big thank you to all the interns and different people that they got in that organization running around like crazy, trying to give you a good time at the ballpark. Got to send a gigantic shout out to these host families.
Yeah. Yeah. For all that they do. It's really remarkable. And I mean, we've heard it from everyone, how great these kids are, you know, how wonderful it is to host them, how, you know, nice and how they, you know, like they get together and they're just warm people. You know, this is not something that you think about when you think about sports. You know, you think, you know, that they're these kind of untouchable, far away. What, they don't even seem human sometimes. They seem like something else. But when you see what goes on, and this is the great thing about sports.
Yeah.
Is how we can bring people together like this in a community, like when we come to support the Rafters or coming up the River Kings and that sort of thing. Man, I was there on Friday for a little while, and that was packed. I mean, there was a ton of people there. Unfortunately, you know, the weather came and kind of ruined everything, but it was great. I mean, those first couple of innings, all the people there, it was fun.
People love that team so much that after that, till like 10 in the morning, at night or whatever it was, game was still going and everything, and there's still people cheering like crazy there. Mm-hmm. There's still, like, I don't know if it was 10 or 5 people or 20 or whatever, but it sounded like 100 that they were still at that last game. And that was after we already knew the playoffs weren't going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
And they still stuck around. And then the last game of the season, jam-packed ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
Just wonderful to see, and that is in big thanks to every single one of you out there going to these games, and thank you for that and everything. Mm-hmm. Real quick side note, new rule. Just like how it is in these leagues, I want Major League Sports to have to do this now. I want when the Packers go to another city, I want them to have to find like host families, and then I want Jordan Love to have to stay with like a host family or something like that.
Oh my gosh!
Maybe that would humble. Maybe that would create like a more empathetic world. I don't know. Maybe
it will. There's one of the baseball podcasts I listened to had this great idea. Each team should have a designated hugger. blogger. Yes. Yeah. So anytime something bad happens, you know, like, and you have to find something like David Ortiz. He'd be a great one, wouldn't he? Yeah, he'd be a great designated hunter. Just come over, put his arm around you, you know, give you, you know, it's all right, you know, give him an attaboy and move on there. It's like, that's a great idea. Let's do that.
especially before the veganism, I thought Cecil, I think of his son. Not Cecil Fielder.
Prince.
Prince
Fielder. You're thinking of Prince.
Prince had one of those attitudes to him. Yeah, he did. I really like Prince Fielder. He seemed like one of those guys that give you a bear hug.
Absolutely.
Now, try to do that to Max Scherzer.
I just need to look on his face, you know?
I don't believe Max Scherzer has ever hugged anybody in his life. I'm pretty certain. He seems like a very good family man, loves his wife, all of that, but never hugged anybody in his life. Not once.
I love the fact that he's like, oh, no, honey. Yeah. I can't.
No.
I can't.
It's just not his thing. Good afternoon. You're on Playmakers.
Hey, man. Sign me up. Okay. I want to be the affable bear that will give the charity hugs, man.
Sounds good.
Designated hugger. There you go.
We certainly have your phone number, so we're going to send it to the rafters to make sure that they've got it.
Hey, they already got my number.
All right.
We'll tell them to Matt in the hat.
They might be calling, so yeah.
Yes, they could be calling. Thank you. I did want to get to one other thing about the Rafters, too. 40-31 overall record.
That's good.
Ups and down season, but never heard of anything but complete cohesiveness in that locker room, in that dugout. That's accomplishment. That's a win right there.
Oh, absolutely.
You can't say that about all the Northwoods League teams, and you certainly can't say that about Major League Baseball teams. you look on the south side of Chicago and just see a little of that.
So sad.
And look at the contrast of that.
Mm-hmm.
Guys chasing their dream down.
Mm-hmm.
Not making anything, by the way, everybody.
Yeah, they're not paid. They can't be paid. Otherwise, they lose their amateur status. Yeah.
I don't know if that gets lost, if that's common knowledge to anybody or anything, but that needs to be said almost every week. Like, these kids are not getting paid.
Yeah.
They chase all this. They do all this. They know that the season's over, and what happens? We only got two games left together? That's what they're thinking of. Mm-hmm. Obviously hurt and wanted to keep continuing to play.
Right.
Wanted to play for this fan base and everything. But, we only get to play together a couple more games. Like, that's worth more than you can ever put a price tag on. You can't put a price tag on something like that. Great season by them. Also wanted to mention this as well, the Rafters have three Rafters named to the Northwoods League postseason All-Star team.
Oh, cool.
Obviously, Brendan Bobo was the lone Rafter hitter named to the squad.
Mm-hmm.
Before Bobo's departure, he was hitting for an average of .244 with a team-high 13 home runs and a team-high 47 RBIs. Bobo's 13 home runs this summer are tied for the most home runs in the league alongside Duluth's Michael Hellequist, who is taking the league's Most Valuable Player award.
Okay.
For Bobo, this is the second consecutive year he's been named to the Northwoods League postseason All-Star team, following a record-breaking campaign in which he hit 17 home runs last year.
Mm-hmm.
On the mound, two members from one of the league's top pitching staffs were honored as well. Right-handed pitcher Callan Graham and left-handed pitcher Josh Howitt were both selected to join the postseason All-Star team.
Wow.
So congratulations to them.
Yeah.
And that also proves, to your point and to caller's point earlier, this pitching staff was one of our better ones and one of our more favorite ones.
Yeah, we've ever had. You know, it's funny. It's one of those things where, you know, if the season structure was a little different in the Northwoods League, you know, the first half and the second half, you know, things. And I understand why they do it, but they might have been able, if it was just based on the whole season, they might have been able to sneak in. But, yeah, it's too bad.
They, you know, the year before, it was the opposite.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we got lucky with that. So it's baseball. And the one thing we do know is that come 2024, we're going to be here. And we know you're going to be there.
Yeah.
And we're looking forward to it already.
Yeah, we are.
I will say that I was talking to Coach Peckham a couple hours ago and of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, and we're like just a couple months away from River Kings stuff.
That's right.
And we're so excited about that. We got that going. Your Red Hawks are in action right now, everybody.
Ooh.
You still got baseball in town.
That's true.
You still got that going on. Support your Red Hawks. They joined us on Midday Magazine last week. That was fantastic.
Yep.
We're looking forward to having more of them join us.
Had a big tournament this weekend, too. Yeah. Unfortunately, they had to deal with some weather. But But still, I mean, they had a whole bunch of teams coming into town. So
there's there's plenty of sports love in our hearts for all of these teams.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make sure to mention some high school football. High school football is right around
the corner. Wait a minute. High school football starting?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Like the Raptor season just ended.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, it did.
It's so good. We never, as sports fans, we never have to blink.
Not really.
There's no time to blink anymore. You just constant sports. Pittsville and Augusta are going to kick off the high school season locally around, as far as close to local.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as real local teams getting really centered in here this Thursday, Lincoln taking on the River Falls Wildcats this Thursday at 7.
All right, cool.
Should be a good one. That is going to be. And you've got Assumption taking on Nisida Friday at 7. Those games are coming up. No, I'm sorry, next week, I believe.
Okay.
Let me double
check. Well, no, we do have one game on Friday. The Assumption. Yep. Yeah, that is this week.
Sorry, that is this week. That is, it's, I got the 18th here. Friday.
There you
18th.
Go.
So Assumption taking on Nisida, kickoff at 7. 7-ish, probably.
Yeah.
Randy and Don going to be on that one for you. Looking forward to that.
Yes.
I did also want to mention that Coach Luke Fickle's show is going to be debuting.
That's right. Yes.
Tomorrow, more than likely.
Yeah. Whoa.
If it's not on tomorrow, will be the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But, the new Wisconsin head coach of the year, Wisconsin Badgers.
Yep. That should be interesting, that first show.
I've been dying to talk Wisconsin Badger football. We've just got so much baseball between the Rafters and the Brewers to talk, mm-hmm. and everything. We only get an hour a week,
Dang
to
it.
Talk. So we just have not had the time. But my goodness, man, I have never seen a program have an off-season change like what has happened with the Wisconsin Badgers.
Wow, yeah.
It's not just these players, the influx of transfers. That's kind of... boring now, honestly. It happens every season.
It happens now, yeah.
To every team.
Yep.
So that's not really that interesting to me. It is the change in the culture in UW. I don't know how much people have been paying attention to the reporting outside of the big names coming in and that kind of thing. It's about what this guy is bringing in as far along with... Like, they have found a great compliment to Barry Alvarez and, I keep wanting to call him GM, but, AD.
AD.
McIntosh.
Yeah, right.
They have found the perfect sandwich here. They have found the perfect compliment because this guy has the balance of all those things that you love in Barry Alvarez and everything, but also the modern understanding that how to reach these kids. How do I reach these kids? He's able to reach these kids. He's able to. It's a little stand and deliver reference. Which I have no idea if anybody even got.
It does. There's one person out there that got it, and they are very happy now. So that's all you need,
the
man.
The biggest James Edward Joe, James Edward Jones, there the fans are.
James Almost. Oh, yeah,
So with this changing of the guard going on in Madison, the other big thing going on is the playbooks.
Mm.
You don't have Jim Leonard there, which that is gigantic to me. That's huge, and there's plenty. Could spend 2 hours talking about that alone. But the offensive side, a forever running offense, an offense that forever every team, I don't care if it was Dartmouth or if it was Michigan going up against Wisconsin, knew fill the box.
Mm-hmm.
Fill the box. Make them beat you through the air.
Yep.
If they can, well, that's just it was their Saturday.
Yep.
But more than likely, ain't gonna happen. Fill the box. Now you don't know. You have no idea. It's the first time in our lifetimes, more than likely, Seth, that you're going into a Wisconsin Badger season, and all bets are off. Like this guy, this is not just a guy who had a good season and got a big gig off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Fickle has proven himself, and coming out of the past season, nobody, and I would say after the last 4 or 5 seasons, nobody has been more sought after than Luke Fickle.
Mm-hmm.
You've had coaches like Jimbo Fisher and other big names, Les Miles, that have been sitting and floating around out there, and everybody still calls Fickle first.
Hmm.
And he was not leaving Cincinnati. He was not going to leave. This is the job that took him away. He sees something that maybe is not known to the rest of us because it wasn't money. He was offered more money from LSU. He's more offered more money in the Big Ten from other Big Ten teams. He took this job for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so excited to see what that means. Not just, I think this year you're going to see some stuff, but I think what's really going to be exciting is in the next 3-5 years, what's going to happen with that program.
Mm-hmm. So here's a kind of a philosophical question, you know, leading how the changes in football over the last, oh, I don't know, decade, 15 years or however it's been, the big change of, you know, like in a lot of sports, analytics, you know, the advanced stuff now that we're learning about sports, using that kind of analytical approach to it, which has in the NFL made the running back almost obsolete. In the traditional sense of the running back, you know, like from scrimmage kind of thing. We've seen it now, and we've been hearing about it all off season. No one's paying running backs anymore. I mean, these are talented guys that we're talking about, but it's just not the league right now. That's what's happening. Now it's starting to go into the college ranks, which makes sense considering the guys are going to be going to the NFL and, you know, it just makes kind of thing. I wonder, you know, and this is personally because it's a sad day for me because I like the running back. That's always one of my favorite. Yeah. The run from scrimmage was always one of my favorite things about football. It's not that I don't like the pass down the field. That's exciting too, right? But there was something about that one run. You know what I'm talking about. He breaks the run and he just goes and breaks some tackles and stuff. There's something just I love about that.
I
was going to say, I wonder, you know, is it swung too far, I guess, to one side of the pendulum? And then people are going to, some smart guy's going to be like, hey, wait a minute. Everyone's guarding against the pass. Maybe we should run the ball, you know, and then will it start, you know, going back the other way at some point? I don't know if we're there yet at the extreme, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know how it's going to go in football, but.
Growing up. Especially as a Chicago Bear fan, there is not a whole lot to hang your hat on. But there's two positions that I believe that my franchise has had down better than most. Not all, but most.
Right.
Middle linebacker.
Oh, yeah.
You look at the history of middle linebacker position in Chicago, and I think it stands for itself.
It sure does.
You look at the running back position, and I believe that nobody in NFL history has a better history at running back than the Chicago Bears. I've believed that my whole life.
Sure.
Am I biased? Yes. Does that mean I'm wrong? I don't know.
There's an argument to be made.
There's definitely an argument to be made for it. I'm not saying it's clear-cut and undisputed. Right,
of course.
But I think that there's a good argument there.
Yeah, sure.
And now, as an adult, the only two things I had to hang my hat on are positions that couldn't mean less in the NFL anymore. It's a joke. It's a sick joke. I will say this, though. I, like a lot of things in sports, I do believe there is a flux.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that... I think that what a lot of people, it's not that the running back position is not valued. It's that they don't want to pay them. They value running backs.
Okay.
They want a running back. They want Saquon Barkley.
Okay.
They want him. Do they, when they have to decide, well, my quarterback is going to get all the money and I got to protect him. So that means the next step is the offensive line.
Right, right.
And after that, I got to make sure that the quarterback can get the ball to somebody.
Right.
So I don't just need a receiver. I need a number one. I need a true number one receiver. That's going to cost money. And by the time I'm done, hey, you, running back, what's it going to take to get you on my team? How much are we talking here? Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not paying you that. I'd love to have you. I'd love to have your skill set, but I ain't got the money.
Mm-hmm.
That's I think, the joy of the salary cap in the NFL is seeing how teams manage these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what's going to happen is how the Russell Wilson model of get the rookie quarterback, build around him with a bunch of money, and then when you got to pay him, that's when your window closes.
Right.
I think it's going to happen with running backs.
I
think
okay.
you're going to have these rookie running backs coming out like Najee Harris last year or some of these other kids like Saquon Barkley a couple of years ago who are going to be guys that you could build an offensive round almost. But you got to do it while they're cheap. And use them up.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
And they're going to use them up and throw them out. And unlike quarterbacks, where you would never do that with a quarterback, they're going to do it with the running backs.
Yeah.
And they've already been doing this to a degree. But I don't think that it's necessarily that, you know, mama, don't let your boys grow up to be running backs. I think it's a matter of that this is the current NFL model.
Right.
And that's going to change.
Okay.
I hope. Because I'm just like you. I played receiver and kick and punt returned in football and everything. But I loved the running back. That was the position that I valued and I always focused on. Football's such an interesting thing where I don't believe that any of us, any of the callers, anybody out there, you or I, Seth, 100% understand the game.
No, I would say not.
I don't think it's lit. I think it's proven every year when we don't know what a catch is.
it changes every single year.
But yet we can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that pulls us into the game is the fact that we think more and more that we watch, the more we'll understand.
Mm.
As a kid, you're watching and you're not paying attention to running backs blocking and things like that, maybe. But as an adult, others said, I need a three down back. I need a guy who can catch, run, and block. You learn a little bit more what's important a part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And as every game you watch, you might learn stuff and maybe get better at it. I don't think any of the other sports are like that. I don't think we're fans doing this. We're not alone. Owners, GMs, head coaches, offensive coordinators. I think they are a little similar in that. They better understand the game better than we do.
They're getting paid for it, yeah.
But they're also just like us in the sense of they are observers.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they're adapting to this as much as we are.
Yeah, makes sense. And you know, and so it's somewhat ironic, I guess, because you know, like you said about the legacy of running backs in Chicago, Minnesota's kind of been a legacy of receivers.
Yeah,
you know, they've had the classic receivers going back to like Ahmad Rashad and stuff like that. So I mean, and even though that was the team, and then you know that was the team that kind of blew it up, the '98 Vikings, you know, that kind of showed the way of where we are now, in a sense, early on. I'm missing my Earl Campbells.
Yes.
And my Lorenzo Whites.
I don't think they're going to go away.
I don't think so either. I think you're right. I think it's going to be how do we, you know, it's going to be how do we utilize them differently? I think it's really what it's going to end up being. So.
Well, and to the Players Association, how do we pay them differently?
Yeah.
Maybe there's a pay model scale difference or something like that.
That could very well be what they need to do. Yep.
I want to make sure to get this story in, but 424-2600, still got about 4 or 5 minutes left. You want to call up and join the conversation. Atlanta Braves starting pitcher Alan Winans tossed 7 shutout innings in the team's 21-3 win against the New York Mets on Saturday afternoon. The 28-year-old right-hander racked up 9 strikeouts and picked up his first Major League Baseball win in just his second appearance in the big leagues.
All right.
Winans has been supplementing his minor league salary in the offseason by working as a substitute teacher in his native Bakersfield, California. There he is known as Mr. W. Winans was a 17th-round draft pick in 2018 draft. Ironically, he was originally selected by the New York Mets.
Oh, pfft. How lovely, how tasty, you know, for him.
This guy, this past weekend, pulled off a win in Major League Baseball, and by probably in a couple of weeks, he's getting his schedule together for the school semester.
Exactly, because he's probably not going to stay there. But what a story he'll have to tell his students.
Cool story. Yeah. Like, how many, I mean, how cool is that? That is awesome.
Those are some of my favorite baseball stories because of the way baseball is structured. There's always going to be times when you need to call a guy up for a short stint. You know, it happened, you know, earlier in the year in Pittsburgh with the Drew Maggie and all that stuff. That great story about him. But that's one of the really cool things about baseball. The guys finally get that chance for that cup of coffee, even if it is just for a cup of coffee. They get a chance to play in the big leagues.
And not only that, but you get a football score. Like it wasn't.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't even have to grind out the win or anything like that.
No, you did not. That's awesome.
Getting your first W in the big leagues is pretty cool, no matter what team it is.
For Mr. W. Yeah, all right.
That's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. That's my good story.
He's in the record book, man.
Yeah.
He's got a record. So that's awesome. That's great.
So we say good night and goodbye to another Raptor season, but we will see you in 2024.
Yeah.
That, of course, means that the high school football season is right around the corner. And a reminder that we'll be covering it right here at WFHR, of course. Our first game we will cover is Assumption versus Nisida. That game coming up Friday, August 18th. Looking forward to it. Randy Paul on the call, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Don running the board. A big shout out to Don Cheeseborough, who we appreciate and always love working with so much.
The man himself.
Tomorrow, the Luke Fickell Show debuts right here at WFHR.
That's going
to be cool. Join us at 7:05 for that. Thank you to Coach Fickell and Learfield for that. We appreciate it. It's going to be fun. Of course, we're going to have Badger football for you all season long. Everybody.
That's right. Your Saturdays are pencil them in there right now.
Oh, I can just feel it. It's right around the corner. I can feel it. I need it.
He needs it in his blood, man.
Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for calling up, everybody. We appreciate the calls. We'll be back here next Monday to do this all over again. A gigantic shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Go there for all your printing needs. Buy local, support local. Seth, thank you for pitch hitting the last couple of weeks.
Not a problem. It's a joy to work with you, James. I don't know if anyone's told you how wonderful. No, I'm just kidding. That was fun.
Not once has that ever been uttered. But you're our fifth Beatle around here with this show, so we appreciate that.
All right.
We'll talk to you soon and later right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.